Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, the TSN app, the iHeartRadio app, and, of course, up on your home smart speaker. The Bears beating the Lions 16-14 earlier today, and just a battle of the minds. Dan Campbell and Matt Nagy, two all-time great coaches, battling it out in the trenches. And it was pretty much exactly how you think the game was played. If you didn't see it, it's exactly what you thought it was.
Outrageous.
It was such a horrendous football game. Bears win, Lions cover, and the Cowboys game is started, and it's 7-6 Vegas over Dallas, and I just had someone send me a DM on Instagram asking me if I had seen Tony Pollard drop his cell phone on a rush. So Pollard's a running back for the Cowboys, and he got tackled, and his cell phone came flying out of his shirt.
That is embarrassing.
That's which,
I think somebody had a celebration once. Wasn't it like Terrell Owens had a cell phone in their pocket? And they called.
And
I don't know. It's stupid.
Who the hell carries a cell phone in their football equipment?
Honestly, like clearly it's a guy who's addicted to his phone. And when he's on the bench, he's looking at his phone. And maybe he feels like I can't leave it on the bench when I'm on the field because then the coach is going
to see it.
What does
the coach say when they see the phone and the whole deal? Like, I guarantee you they go up to him and say, what on earth are you up to?
How is that not a fine immediately? And if it was the cell phone, and I've seen the video and the snapshots, it looks like his phone. How is it not basically go take your helmet off and your gear off like you're not playing anymore? Like, why is your cell phone not in the locker room right now? We're playing football right now. Pro football in the NFL. This isn't a pickup game on a Tuesday night.
Dude, that's outrageous, man. And I guarantee you there's been all kinds of scenarios. I think baseball players have gotten in trouble for using their cell phone in the clubhouse during a game or guys just can't stop it.
A player that liked something on Instagram during
a
game.
That's
right?
Right.
He was liking stuff on Instagram.
I think it was our boy Pablo Sandoval pre-belt destruction.
What?
I think he was in the back and he was getting after something. And he was spotted. This was back when Instagram would show like who was liking things in the timestamp. And it was like during the seventh inning, this guy's liking a bunch of Instagram photos, effectively incriminating himself. Like people are like, the game's on. And Sandoval's on Instagram right now. And he wasn't alone. There were other guys doing the same thing. That was dangerous, man, when the whole world could see everything you were liking, following. Luckily...
Has that changed now?
I think Instagram, Twitter, I think they've all kind of changed it. Maybe not Twitter as much, but there were some people getting up to some bad stuff online, and everyone knew it.
What do you mean? On Instagram, you can't tell what other people are following anymore?
No, I don't know about following. I guess you could if they're a public account, but... You don't know what anyone's liking anymore or what they're viewing or any of that activity. Like, you can't see who they're following.
There was some dum-dums that also didn't know that everyone could see what they were liking, and they were liking just
hot ass daily. Wasn't that – what was the coach?
What was that guy's name?
From New York.
Rhombus or
McHale,
whatever.
Wasn't it?
Rhombus.
Or Kurt Rambis?
Kurt Rambis.
Kurt Rambis.
Kurt Rambis.
Big Ass Daily. Yeah. Just 100 likes on Big Ass Daily.
Kurt Rambis got the Knicks gig, and immediately Larry Brooks or someone was like, all right, let's check out this guy's Twitter activity. Oh, my God. Look who he follows. Look who he likes.
But the worst thing is if it was like a minute before tip-off, like a click on Big Ass Daily, and he's liking stuff. Like, where is your head at, Kurt Rambis? The game starts in 45 seconds, and you're dropping a like bomb on Big Ass Daily.
That's got to be inspiring for the boys, knowing that their coach's head is really in the game. A lot of people tweeting it. It was Joe Horn that actually brought his cell phone.
Yes.
And it was what Terrell did was he had the Sharpie. Terrell Owens had the Sharpie in his sock and pulled it out and signed the ball, which is actually pretty amazing and creative.
He did, but there also was a guy with a cell phone, too. I remember
Joe
that.
Horn did
I may not
Joe Horn, he was with the Saints, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think down in New Orleans.
Oh, of course.
Because I've seen it, too. I know exactly what you're talking about. It was Joe Horn, which has got to be a confident play because you're like, he had a lot of touchdowns, really good career. Clearly he knew he was getting in the end zone.
He didn't actually, I remember it now, he stuffed it into the end zone, into the padding, I think. He didn't have it on him.
Yeah, pulled it out.
That's so right. That's the difference. But this guy having the cell phone in his shorts during a game, that's outrageous.
It really is. If, again, all the video I've seen, I can't watch the game live, but it looks like Tony Pollard, like a lot of people tweeting, did I just see Tony Pollard's cell phone fly out when he got tackled? So, listen, it's Thanksgiving. Maybe he's FaceTiming people in between plays. Who knows?
All right, five-pack for Hazy. Let's see him.
Yes, Mike Johnson will join us here in a moment. We're at U.S. Thanksgiving, big date in the hockey world, because it generally means we know a lot about teams and players, right? Everyone says by the time you hit U.S. Thanksgiving, you better be in the playoffs or close to it, or it's basically that ship has sailed. You guys went through your five-pack in the previous segment. We ran out of time for mine. We'll carry mine over, then we'll see what Johnny has to say about some of our boldest predictions. All right, 1 through 5. I'll fire this away. Leon Draisaitl will win the Art Ross. Okay, so he's got McDavid by, I believe, 4 points right now. McDavid had himself a 4-point night last night. Gets skunked in Dallas, shows up in Arizona, throws up 4 points. Guess who also had 4 last night?
Draisaitl.
He doesn't stop. Guess who had a point in Dallas? Draisaitl. He has had three games where he's bageled, where he hasn't put up a point this year. Every other game he's put up points. Most of them it's been 2 packs, 3 packs, 4 packs. This guy's got 40 points in 19 games.
Hazy,
20
you
goals.
Know what's crazy is you scroll down the box score, and a guy like Cassian will score, or Kyle Turris, then you'll see the 2 assists, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl.
It's always the two of them.
Dude, it's outrageous.
But,
it's outrageous.
I thought, for me, the craziest stat about Draisaitl is, I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, he has either 8 or 9 3-point games this
right,
year.
Exactly.
Like something crazy.
I went over his game log today, and it's like, it's just 3 points here, goal and 2 assists, 2 goals and an apple. Then he'll mix in a 4-pointer. Then he'll have a bagel. Then he'll have a 2-point night. Like, it's just all the time. It's consistent. And listen, McDavid has been the favorite to win the Art Ross. He's won it every single year. The safe money's still on McDavid, but at U.S. Thanksgiving, I'm going to get bold. I'm going to say Draisaitl goes neck and neck with him and somehow just beats him out by a point or two. Bold prediction number 2, Vegas will win the Pacific. There's all this focus on the 2 Alberta teams, deservedly so. They've been outstanding. Vegas has well weathered the storm. Pacioretty's back. Stone is back. Eichel's going to be back for what, the final 25 or 30 games, give or take?
They had
a bad start. They had some blips in the radar. They're starting to get going. They're lurking. They're not that far behind right now. And I think there's a lot more runway. I think Vegas, if they stay healthy, they win the Pacific. I think they get back on top.
I'll give you that one. Although we love Pete DeBoer. We love the Golden Knights, but that's not saying a whole lot about the Pacific.
Well, I mean, listen, the Alberta teams are legit. Like they're
that's
good.
Where I don't really know. That's a ballsy take if you really want to toss that one out there now that I think about it.
All right.
Because all I thought about was California. I forgot Calgary, Edmonton. Anyway, go ahead with your next.
Yep, that's why I'm jumping. That's why I think it is, because of Vegas. Number 3, Montreal will be in tank mode well before the trade deadline.
They better be.
Like in the next month. It's time to get out in front of this. And you know what they need to do is tank for Shane Wright. Like just tank. Arizona's horrendous. Ottawa's been terrible. Buffalo's coming back down to earth. Seattle's brutal. There's going to be teams lurking down there. Montreal, what do you need a bunch of points late to finish with the 9th pick? Tank, get rid of anything that isn't stuck to the wall.
But they got so many kind of quality players under contract, it's almost impossible for them to get in that tank mode with Arizona. You throw Carey Price into the net, he's probably going to win you 10 games on his own.
Well, maybe that's a part of it. Maybe Carey doesn't play as much as he
so
should.
So you're
going
to go up to Rick Montomblanc and say, hey, you're our guy now?
Yeah, if I'm in tank mode, absolutely.
Rick Montomblanc.
Mount Tromblanc is playing a lot down the stretch.
Yeah,
Rick Montomblanc.
Who did you say was in net for Arizona?
Rick Dell.
Aaron Dell.
Rick Dell.
Yeah. It's Rick now.
Did he play for Buffalo?
It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
It's all the same. It doesn't matter, Noodles.
Yeah.
That's why I was like.
All right. Speaking of great goaltenders like Rick Dell and Richard Montremblant, number 4, Freddie Anderson will win the Vezina. Vezina.
That's bold. That's very bold.
I don't think so. He's leading the NHL in wins. They got a great team. They protect him. They give him 25 kind of perimeter shots. Yeah.
Will he stay healthy? Will he play enough games?
That's the ticket. Well, that's where it gets a little bit ballsy, but not a whole lot of balls involved in that comment at all.
Well, I mean, he can be one of those guys. I mean, I can make a case for Markstrom. I can make a case for
Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell's in there. Freddie Anderson. Like, there's other goaltenders that if you look at their, and I know you hate this, but like some of their underlying numbers, like mm-hmm. that Shesterkin in New York has some crazy.
And they're winning games too, Noodles.
Right.
Winning a lot
and
of games.
They have a stat where it's like stolen games. And he, you know, goals above expected, that type of stuff. He's like stopped the most, and it's impressive. But you know, can he hold up with it? And then the usual guys, are they going to come sticking their nose into it? Is Vasilevsky going to come back in there, and or a guy
Hellebuck
like Hellebuck, and you know, like these guys? So it isn't outrageous, but it is a pretty bold take 20 games in. I'll say,
yep.
You know, another guy who's got numbers, James Reimer.
Yes, he does.
Have you seen his numbers?
Yes.
Like crazy. He's like second in save percentage, or was last. He's 94% save percentage. He's
yep.
right there with Campbell and all them. So, anyways, it's a. Yeah. He's,
okay, so, well there's number four, and this is my last one. The death march in Vancouver continued last night. Elias Pettersson will finish the season with less than 60 points. I'm done with this guy. I watched him last night in the third. I was
isn't it something?
Just floating around. He had a chance to throw his body on Sid last night, and he just decided, forget it. And I know he's not a big guy, get it, but like had him lined up, could have. They were down 3-0. Maybe it was 3-1 at that point, and he just forget it. Go for
dude.
A change.
That's what I'm talking about it's with these guys crazy. On the ice now, Hayes. Where it's just like you give them the money, and then you all of a sudden just give them a open the door and say, there you go. You're going out no matter what, so I guess you can just do whatever the hell you want. It's sickening to watch. Absolutely
yeah.
sickening.
Pettersson, right now he's got 10 points in 20 games. So that's not bold based on where the numbers are. Like he's on pace for 41
and 2
points.
Months ago he was like, you're paying me $7 a year or don't even think about it. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, eventually his shoe's going to drop. Like Jimmy Benning's going to dye his hair and fire Travis Green, and then the owner's probably going to step in. And the owner's probably going to step in and say, okay, well, we need a new direction. So he's going to hire the Sedin brothers to be presidents, and they're going to have to hire a manager. Like, they're going to have some form of thing. And then you take a look at, like, JT Miller's losing his mind. He's the only guy who's got
snapping
he's very outspoken,
today,
snapping in practice, yelling. But, like, how do you not know what you're doing? Like, these
it
guys,
was very telling, Noodles, in his post game yesterday, and we'll bring MG in here to get his comments. When he made a comment, and then the reporter said, is everyone bought in? And he just looked. He had no answer, and he just couldn't say no. And you know exactly who the hell he was talking about.
Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's up in Vancouver, Johnny? Like, at what point does some sort of shoe have to drop on somebody or something? Because it's so painful to watch. They lost again last night.
Yeah, you're right. It was painful, and something does have to happen soon. The problem is, like, the season's kind of gotten away from them, right? So I wonder if that almost alleviates the time pressure because they're not going to make the playoffs now. So, you know, can they be more patient, which is not great for the market. That market is upset, unhappy, and they want change. And that market can also, like, disengage quickly. Like, fans will stop coming to the game, and that's not good for the owner or the bottom line. So something has to give. Oh, you're exactly right. When you see JT Miller after the game, that kind of exasperated, like, I don't know. I can't say I know if guys are bought in. Like, the most basic question that every player, even if it's not true, would give lip service. No, we're all here. We're all committed. We're all in the program. We're all trying our best. Like, everyone says that. Always.
And you don't have to be a rocket scientist, Mike, to figure out who he's talking about. He's like, I'm watching these guys, and they're just not committed, and it's making me sick. That's basically what he was explaining to everybody.
Yeah, and the fact that he's willing to say it out loud tells you where he's at and tells you how splintered the dressing room is becoming. Because, by saying that, you are forcing everyone to have this conversation. Like, who's he talking about? What's he talking about? And then today at practice, like, we don't know what we're doing, which, you know, again, is just frustration building up. But, you know, that looks bad on the players, looks bad on the coach, and that's where it's at. And when you see signs like this, that's when you know it's kind of gotten beyond maybe salvaging. They're not right in the right place to work it out, work out of it, and that means changes. That means trade, coach, GM, whatever. And I heard Noodles, you know, plan it. It makes a lot of sense, except while the Sedins are unquestionably qualified to do just about anything, like, they've been around the organization for a year. Like, it's a lot to be a president, like, to the ins and outs of the NHL. Like, I know Shanny came into Toronto, but he'd been at the league office for, like, a decade. Like, it's no matter how smart you are, to walk right in to be the president of an organization, even if you're a great player, that's a challenge. I'd be leery about them thinking they could fix it all while they're learning on the fly, but something has to give there. You could probably echo that into Montreal, but it is getting nasty in Vancouver, and that's the thought that they could wait a little longer, I think that's out the window.
Well, you know, I all I can think of, and it's not going to happen, but, you know, when you have that type of frustration, like, something has to happen either within the room. I'm sure they've had a few come to whatever you call it,
meetings. Coming to Jesus meetings.
Well, yeah. And then you've also, like, do you remember St. Louis? They were such a fiasco the year that they, you know, battled back. There was a fight in practice. I think it was
Bortuzzo, Zach Sanford?
Yeah. Yeah. And went after Sanford. I'm not saying they need that, but you could tell in St. Louis, I remember things were just sideways and people were losing their mind. And it was like that fight kind of like jarred them. I'm not saying they need a fight, but they need something there to at least jar some momentum for them, because JT Miller can't come out every night and just go, yeah, you know what, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't hear from anybody else in that room. Is anybody else in that room quotable? Like, does Quinn Hughes even speak? Like, have you heard him being interviewed
once? Yeah, you never
hear
him. Yeah,
you never hear him. For as good as he is, right? he very rarely even does it media, let alone says something of consequence. That's a good point. But I mean, you think about St. Louis and that fight, you're right, which is probably, you know, exasperated and kind of maybe just snap out of it. But it was really Craig Berube who went in there and snapped them out of it. Because that team before the previous coach, and, you know, we love Trav, and I want Greeny to not have a job. You know, I think he's a good coach. But that team in St. Louis was running the coach. And Craig Berube came in and said, nope, that's not how this is happening. And that's, to me, more so than a fight. Like, that's how they were shocked back into reality when Craig Berube forced them into reality. And I don't know how they think about what's going on out there, but it doesn't seem like they're responding to anything, whether it's the coach, whether it's the pressure, whether it's to the internal strife. They're all just kind of just going out there and not figuring it out, not finding a solution. I don't want to say it's about effort. I'm always hesitant to ever say it. Like, I think everyone shows up at a game thinking, I'm going to try. Everyone's going to try their hardest, but it's not happening right now in Vancouver, and something's got to give.
No, something's very disconnected there. It's very predictable, the outcome, before the puck even drops. You
just
kind of know where it's going. And, you know, on the flip side of that, the Leafs really are on the other side of the spectrum, where they're playing consistently well. Like, I thought they had a great all-around effort last night, and I thought their depth was there. I mean, you look at the game sheet alone, you get goals from Kerfoot, you get goals from Engvall, you get goals from Spezza. There were a lot of different contributors last night. And we talked about the third pairing in particular in the last hour, Johnny. I think this Sandin Liljegren pairing has been pretty consistent and pretty good. And I thought they were really good last night. I thought Sandin was outstanding. And I've been skeptical of Liljegren. I've been debating why it's taken him so long. And maybe they were hoping he could develop into a guy further up the lineup, and maybe it finally went off, like the bell just rang. They said, you know what he is? The third-pairing guy that's very predictable, knows his role, is positionally strong, and as long as he doesn't try to chase a shadow around, you can rely on him. And that's what I saw last night, and I've seen it a fair amount. What do you make of that pairing in particular?
They've been really good. They've been really good in the role they've been asked to play. Like, I've been on the Sandin bandwagon all year. Like, he's been, you know, given what he's been asked to do, he's done his job like the best of all the defensemen, because he's not asked to do quite as much as the guys above him. But the two of them, you know, they go on the ice, they get third pairing matchups, they get, you know, preferable zone starts, and they churn out good results. Shots, chances, goals. That's what you want. That's what you want from your third pair. And I think they like playing with each other, lefty, righty. Maybe Sandin is showing that he probably can maybe slide up a little bit further if need be, and Liljegren might not be there. And I think if Liljegren was a fourth rounder, a third rounder, which he's not, but if he was, you'd be like, yep, this is amazing. Like, everybody, every team loves, like, steady Eddie, solid, not too expensive guy you can just count on. And And that would be tremendously valuable. I think the fact that he's drafted so high, you're always looking like, well, is there more there? Is there more offense? Can he play higher up? And maybe he can eventually. He's probably not there just yet. But you got to love that you stumbled onto that, because those two guys, you can, like, lock in. Like, put them out there in that role, and they've won the night just about every single time they've played this year. And that's a positive, Sheldon Keefe. So it was a nice night, though. It was a night where a lot of things went well. We've talked about shooting percentages and scoring chances, and at some point they were going to go in, and they did. And that's what it looks like when things start regressing back to an appropriate level, and that's it's a pretty good game, a very mature game. Good for Jack Campbell getting one in L.A. I know he wasn't too happy about the result of the first time they came through Toronto this year. Great to see, Wayne Simmons, nice toe drag dish. Like, those guys who do a lot of good things, they need to get rewarded too, right? Like, they need to feel good about themselves by scoring goals and creating points, and a lot of guys had that last night.
Johnny, you ever had a scenario where the coach came in the locker room and said, you guys take 2 points tonight, the bird stays put on the tarmac?
Yep. We have had that. I have that. And, oh, my God, is it a good one. And, like, the silent looks around the room, because you can't celebrate while the coach says it, right? Like, you can't act like you're that excited.
Tell me the city.
Like, no,
tell me the city.
We're still focused on the game.
Tell me the city.
We had one in Miami, one in Scottsdale, one in New York City.
And isn't it pathetic that grown men need their
coach? Oh, it's
to
terrible,
say the
isn't it?
Thing.
Like, I can go to a bar anytime I want in any city I want, but, like, it is such a bonding communal response. Like, across the board, everyone gives that look, like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, we got to be good. We got to be good. So I'm hopeful that maybe we got some of that last night. But I think to make that count, you got to do it before the game. You can't do it after the game. Like, I know it's a celebratory, like, hey, yeah, we're staying over, great. But if you do it before the game, it's almost a greater test of your team. Like, how do they deal with that carrot? Do they get distracted by it? Or do they rally behind it together? So if I were a coach and I'm trying to always, like, probe my team for their reactions and their maturity and all those different things, I would want to do it before the game and see how they respond. Because if they did it last night before the game, I'm loving what I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah. It's like the cup being in the building.
It's
go out there and perform.
It is the biggest. and you got guys who, like, don't ever want to go out. You got guys who just want to go watch movies. It doesn't, like, there is nobody who's not fully on board and invested in a potential non-flight night.
The best.
That game becomes like a playoff game. Like, that's what it is. Like, guys, you see guys that, like, I'm not lying, because you do need carrots in November, because the season is long. So all of a sudden, like, I've been in same cities that you were talking about. We had one in Calgary, of all places, because we didn't play for three nights later in Edmonton. We all knew that Cowboys was raring to go and waiting for us. So, we got guys blocking shots, and these are players that don't block shots. They accidentally on purpose would get out of the way. All of a sudden in the third, you're protecting a one goal lead and guys are blocking and the bench is roaring. And, it's November and the bench is like, fire it up, because people may think, oh, these guys are really dialed in tonight. And the truth of it is the guys want to go and have some fun afterwards, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't.
Vladislav Nagy turned into Yeri Letnin. It was unbelievable.
Exactly.
It was unbelievable in Arizona. This guy, he was like diving face first to block shots. And you're right, the bench just erupts because they know what why he's doing it. And, it's one of those beautiful little things that happens throughout a season that maybe only the team gets, but it's one of those things.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So we went around the table with some bold predictions at U.S. Thanksgiving. It's always a date that in the hockey world people reference and say, if you're not in the dance by U.S. Thanksgiving, you could be in a lot of trouble. So we all had a five-pack. Let me throw a couple at you here, and you tell us, where these land on the bold, stratosphere for you.
Yeah.
Let me throw three out here, one from each, that are team-related, and you tell me which one you think sticks out more. I said I believe Vegas will come back and win the Pacific. O said he believes the Islanders are done. It's over. They're not going to make the playoffs. Noodles said he believes Columbus will make the playoffs. Of those three, which one sticks out?
Well, I know which one sticks out as the most obvious is O's. Like, I know the Islanders were a sexy pick, but what's going on with them, the COVID and everything else, like, they're in tough in a really good division. They got to jump over, like, four teams. They're in tough. Mm-hmm. Columbus making it would be, is probably the most bold. Because Vegas is only what?
They're only a few points back. Yeah, three right? or four. Like, and the big boys are coming back.
They're and they're going to get healthier, and we know they're committed. Like, that's not as much of a stretch. And Calgary and Edmonton have played amazing. Maybe they regress. But Columbus Noodles would be a shocking development, given that they're in the Metro, which I think top to bottom is probably the deepest, best division.
Yeah.
And this was a rebuilding year for them. They weren't supposed to be good this year. It was supposed to go the other way. They were supposed to kind of bottom out and kind of reset and figure out what they're doing. And yet here they are. Playing very well, five games over 522 points. That would be shocking before the season. And even still, given Pittsburgh's right on their tail, Philly's right on their tail, two teams that are, you know, supposed to be much better than them, that would be the most shocking for sure. But good goaltending, some timely scoring, and they're doing it right now, unfortunately, without Patrick Laine, who's been hurt, and then the passing of his dad. So, you know, they're not even at full strength. But goaltending, and I guess Brad Larson's done a pretty good job there.
He has. And the other thing that, honestly, guys, and I know this is, maybe I'm just pulling for him. You know, they had the goaltender pass away this summer, Matisse. And I don't know if you saw Elvis's media, but he said, I'm going to go and win the Vezina this year. He said, and I'm going to do it for Matisse. And, it's easier said than done in anything, but this Elvis is a hell of a goaltender. They've got great goaltending there. Korpisalo, you guys saw what Korpisalo did against the Leafs in the playoffs a couple of years back. Like, they've got great goaltending. If they can just give them a chance every night, maybe they do. I that's why it's such a bold prediction.
Yep.
I don't personally believe it. I wouldn't put money on it. Mm-hmm. But if there was something that was crazy enough to happen, it could be like these goalies drag them right in. Terry Laine comes back. You know, you get a little bit, some of these young players step up and have.
This is it, though, right? The U.S. Thanksgiving, seasons, who's right? in, who's not. Columbus is the team that screams at you. You're like, look at this. Look what's going on. They're there. I didn't see them being there.
How about the flip side? My bold prediction, Boston misses because five teams from the Metro make.
Ooh. Well, they are. Yeah. The thing is, I don't see a fifth team in the Metro that I'm convinced is better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's the thing. Like, I like Carolina a lot.
Looking at
Columbus
or somebody like that.
Yeah, but that's what it's going to have to be, you know?
Yeah, you're going to need Columbus to go on a tear or Philly or something. But I just...
You're right.
It's a different team. Like, we know the goaltenders are different, although Tuukka may be coming back. You know, no Krejci. They're a bit older. Their best players are still really good. Top line, McAvoy, but Taylor Hall has his moments, but they're just not quite as good as they once were. They're playoff contenders. They don't feel necessarily like Stanley Cup contenders. So, you know, you could see a strange thing happening with them. That's why it's bold. It's unlikely, but conceivable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is for sure. Well, Johnny, you're back, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll do this again in about 24 hours.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Pre-orders are now available for all models, including the all-new 2022 Tundra and Corolla Cross. Visit MapleToyota.com. Johnny's not alone in that. There's a lot of people who have said that. Noodles, you've been preaching that, I believe, for a while, that, you know, five out of the Metro.
Well, here's why I
don't see that fifth team that's definitively better than Boston or Toronto or whatever.
Well, it's not even that. I'm playing the percentages of them just getting points night in and night out. You turn around, they're playing each other. Somebody's got to get two. There's 3-point games. Jersey's kicking around. Like, these teams that we thought would be right near the bottom are all of a sudden, like, you know, still hovering 20 games in. Mm-hmm. That might look different 40 games in, 60 games in. We're going to be having different conversations. It's more the law of the averages that all of these teams, there's not a real disparity. Like, you know, when the Atlantic, there's a disparity, you know, Montreal's at the bottom, Ottawa's at the bottom. Like, the Metro, everyone's kind of bunched, and they're all playing each other, and they're all getting points. So, that's what's interesting for me.
I agree with you, but what I would counter with is the top four in the Atlantic are going to play a lot of these brutal teams at the bottom, right? Like,
eventually,
Boston's
could
be coming down the stretch. Their final three games could be Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa. And it's like, if they're a point out, I feel pretty good about them getting 6 points. Where, you know, if you're Columbus, you might have Washington, Carolina, and Philly you got to play or whatever it is. And that's the only discrepancy is that, like, the fall off Detroit, I give them credit. Detroit's still a 500 club and they're kind of lurking. But I believe at the end of the season they're going to be at the bottom. Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, that might be the worst bottom four of any division in the league right now. I mean, as it currently stands, that's going to hopefully be a feeder system for points for teams like Toronto, Florida.
Feeder system.
Tampa, Boston. Just a bird feeder for 2 points.
Yes.
So we'll see, though. We still got 60 games to go, though. There's a lot of runway here for a lot of change. So maybe we'll do this again in about 20 games. James Duthie still to come. Jack Armstrong on a big Raptors comeback win last night. We're tracking the football game. Vegas is up 14-6. I think I'm getting 7.5 points in that game, too. Was that what the final spread was? I think it was Cowboys 7.5. That would suggest I have 15 points to play with the rest of the game. Me likey. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Leafs are back in action in San Jose tomorrow night, and Joseph Woll will get the start. Joseph Woll started. We discussed that the other day. Will Campbell get all three games? And much like we said yesterday, with Woll going in, lock and change over 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm not panicked about his performance. You know, he looked very good in Long Island. He looked good in Buffalo. He's used to starting on the road. That's all he knows in the NHL. And Campbell had a big win last night. He'll play on Sunday.
Question is, how many for you before it's like, oh, maybe this guy can be the backup, and you don't need a guy that makes 3.8 to be a backup or a kind of 1B guy?
Listen, that reality could be facing this team. If Jack Campbell keeps playing like this and they determine they have to keep him and have to sign him, he's going to be making a fair amount of money. And let's say he makes $5.5-6 million, whatever it is, I don't think they have the room. In fact, I know they don't, to have Mrazek at 3.8.
No.
So that might just be a necessary reality, is if Campbell sticks around long-term, you give him a long-term deal, big bump in pay, something's going to have to give, and it will likely be Mrazek at that point. So then if Joseph Woll can prove that he's capable of being a backup, then that would definitely alleviate the pressure you could be facing, because they've committed to Mrazek. They like Mrazek. They should. He hasn't been able to show himself here, but he's a good goalie. When he comes back,
dude,
he'll be back as the tandem
situation.
This year.
Who knows? Like, talking with Dregs and Pooley every night, we just talk about hockey basically the whole game. And you never know what the agent approach is. And if the agent approach is just, like, put the screws to them, we want the most, we want to be paid like a maybe there's a chance that Jack Campbell's just told him, go get it somewhere else. Like, you have to think about that as a possibility moving forward as well. It's like, the guy's been unbelievable. He started with Los Angeles, or Dallas, I don't know where he started.
Dallas.
But Dallas, L.A., came here. If he wants to put the screws to the Leafs and says, I want big goaltender money, then you got to let him get it somewhere else. You got to think about that as a possibility moving forward. Like,
yeah.
are you fully committed to say whatever this guy wants?
Well, not whatever he wants. If he's asking for Carey Price's deal or something, clearly then that's not viable.
Obviously,
but,
yeah.
You know, there's got to be a limit on whatever he wants. You know, like, if it depends on, because he's not a young kid either. He's 29 years old, so what
Man,
are you looking
he's hard
for?
To, like, I do not want to deal. Like, I love the guy. I really do. I think he's awesome. I think his personality is awesome. He's playing awesome. He's playing like an elite goaltender. But with the injury stuff, a long-term contract for him, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No,
man.
I agree with you.
I want to reward the guy for what he's paid, for how he's playing, but I don't want to go anywhere near some kind of long-term deal. Not right
well,
now.
What does
I
it
don't,
look
I
like?
Don't...
What does it look like for you? Like, I mean, honestly, it's easily right now his deal. I said this before. I might have to, you know, revamp a little bit. It's easily 5 years, something mid-fours. But it's going to be north of that.
Well, you know? The way he's playing is going to lead his agent, I would think, to say, yes, we believe on the market we can find a 6 or 7 year deal or a 5 year deal, so we're looking to match that. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, because there's a lot more season to be played. The playoffs, if and when the Leafs get there, and Campbell's clearly going to be the guy to start. I think that is one thing that we can make as a not even a bold prediction, a lukewarm prediction. Is even when Mrazek's back and healthy, even if they dwarf into this tandem that they probably were expecting before the season, Campbell's your guy. Like, Campbell's your number one under the guise of a tandem, and come the playoffs, Campbell's going to be the guy playing for you. But he was very good last night, wasn't tested a ton, but he just continues to roll. His stats are off the charts. We're tracking the football games. The Raiders are up 17-6 on the Cowboys right now. So Dallas is starting to really fall apart here themselves. I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played today, and we'll see what happens with them. But
just can't stop themselves. They cannot stop themselves.
They get rolling. They get hot. Everyone starts talking Super Bowl. They're the number one team in the power rankings. And then it's Kansas City. Nope. Raiders roll in. We'll see what happens. They've had a couple of losses lately, and they're 7-3. And now the division could be coming into reach. If anyone had any chance of putting on a performance, maybe the Eagles can do that. But we'll keep tracking that game. This Tiger Woods comeback, like any golfer that does any interviews right now, they're asked about it. Everyone. We had Graham Dillette on yesterday. First thing we asked, what do you make of the video? What do you think of Tiger? And he was on board with us. Masters, it's happening. This PNC Championship with his kid, Charlie, that he played in last year, it's around the corner. Like daily, a new golf reporter saying he's hearing that's going to happen. Tiger and his kid at the PNC. It's not a PGA event. He can drive a cart around if he wants. Could you see that? And would you watch?
I could see that. I could see that because, you know, the father, well, we all have daughters. Noodles has a son, but you know that that son of his,
right?
He went to him. It was like a movie line, man. Something you see out of a movie. Hey, Dad, can you get better? Because last year was the first little shot of Charlie Woods playing golf, and he was an impressive little guy, but it's just, you know that that kid went up to him and said, Dad, can you get healthy and play in that tournament with me again? And you know Tiger Woods probably said, sure, I'll do my best.
Well, and that it's a televised event on the Golf Channel. It's a non-sanctioned, you know, it's a charity kind of event where a bunch of guys just come out and have a good time with their dads, uncles, kids, friends, caddies, whatever it is. And if Tiger is capable of driving the cart around, hitting some balls, then he might show up. And if
he does,
it would be pretty incredible that we're not even talking a full calendar year where this guy would be technically back on TV hitting golf balls again. Like, it feels like a lot longer than it has been. It was just after the Genesis at Riviera, and, you know, he was playing a year ago. He was playing a year ago. And if he returns in like, 10 months from a catastrophic car crash and the extensive surgeries and the rehab, it'll really be a testament to this guy's perseverance, work ethic, and just passion for the sport to get back out there. And it'll be a really highly televised event, huge ratings. His kid was getting a ton of love, like you said. So I hope there's truth in that because I've seen daily new reporters coming out, and I guess they're holding a spot at the PNC Championship. Like, they've got to dial it in at some point. I think it's in the next couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks anyway. It's down in Florida, and I guess they're holding a spot for him, and you know they're going to, and they're praying that the guy shows up.
Dude, I'm just hoping that that son of his, like, just starts dialing it in college, and then we get the 20 years of Charlie Woods on the back end of Tiger Woods. It would be the greatest gift for any golfer. Charlie Woods with a red shirt on Sunday?
Yeah.
Put it in my veins.
I know. I'm with you, man. Tiger just hangs him up, and Charlie walks right onto the scene. Because remember when the kid showed up last year, and he's got a good little swing. He's a good little player. He's a young kid. He's 12 or 13.
But sooner or later, he's going to show up, and he's going to be 6'2", 210 pounds, and absolutely mashing drives.
Yes.
And that, it like, might be this year.
Guys were – like, there's already Vegas odds on him making the tour, winning a major. Like, people are betting on this kid. And that's a degenerate line, I will say that. But yeah, that's the hope. And there's a lot of smoke out there that Tiger, you know, that may be his unofficial return is at that PNC Championship.
I guarantee you, though, Hayes, as I mentioned, I guarantee the kid said, Dad, I love that so much. Can you get healthy and let's play in that again?
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Even if you're just, you know, hitting irons off the tee, it doesn't matter what they score. Just go out there and hit a couple shots, let Charlie do his thing, hit a couple of putts, and, you know, ride your cart around. It's all good. And I'm sure that maybe the plan, and we'll see. We'll find out. James Duffy still to come. Jack Armstrong on a big Raptors comeback last night. Very impressive third quarter in particular. And we've got a date. We've got a place for Canada versus USA in the next World Cup qualifying window.
Did we predict it?
Just a little bit off. Just a little bit off. Not exactly a hot pocket, but I think people in the GTA are going to be healthy. are happy about this one. So we'll tell you about it. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Online, tsn1050.ca. All right, so the next World Cup qualifying will take place end of January. The Canadians are going to have three games, two on the road. They're in Honduras, they're in El Salvador, and in between that, they're at home against the United States, which will clearly be a massive game. I mean, with Mexico in Edmonton and then the U.S. game, that's as big as it gets. And that game will take place on January 30th in beautiful Hamilton, Ontario.
Dude,
so the
game's
going to be played at Tim Hortons Field in the Hammer.
Dude, that's great and everything. It's kind of close to Toronto, but like it's January 30th. Like, go to play it indoors somewhere. Go to BC indoors. Why are we doing this?
Clearly, they feel like it's going to be an advantage. And
dude,
it
against
was
the Americans?
Mexico. That's the thing. Like, the U.S., they're going to be hosting their home games, I believe, in, like, I think Columbus. And that's what they're looking for when they play Mexico, when they play El Salvador or whatever. And any of the teams south of the U.S., when they come up, the Americans and the Canadians are clearly like, let's play in the cold. But you would think, with the states familiar with that, that maybe it isn't as big of an advantage or won't be as big of an advantage. So, yeah, maybe you bring it to Vancouver, you put it inside.
Put it inside, see what you got.
Yeah, I would.
But they're not going to do it because, like, January 30th in Hamilton, we know what the weather's going to be like. It's going to be freezing cold, icy, snowy.
Nonsense. Terrible.
Yeah, it will be. You know, and I obviously, you know, the Hammer, I give credit to whoever's running the show out there in Hamilton with Tim Hortons Field because they got the Leaf Buffalo game being played outdoors there in March, I think it is. And now you got this Canada game. Like, it's a great stadium.
It's shaking.
Yeah, but they've got to cook it. Someone's really pushing the Hammer on the big national and international scene, and obviously people are listening. So there you go, Canada.
I just don't get
US.
It. I think of the event. It's like freezing your ass off, dude. Hamilton is not like it's just same as Toronto. January 30th. That's bitter cold, man.
Yes,
that's basically I don't know. We talk about stupid stuff, but that's got to be probably the most, like, the coldest time of year, end
that's
of January.
The window, yes. When I think of the worst conditions,
yes,
it's January,
the last week
February.
In January and the first two in Feb is outrageous.
Yeah, like, there's no chance. It's just a mild, you know, 4 degrees.
Dude, the sun could be blaring. Sun out shining. It will be 30 below zero.
Yeah. It is. The players, listen, it's a massive match, and to the credit of the players, you know, they just went through it in Edmonton. That's what it was in Edmonton. It felt like 15 below, and it was snowing all day, and they went out and performed, and they won. And the players will get warmed up and fired up and jacked up, and they'll have it's 3 points on the line. They'll have a game plan that they're going to have to execute. I just hope the fans show up in the greater Toronto area. They did in Edmonton. You can fit a lot of people in that Tim Hortons Field. And I think that could have been a factor as well, that they want to be somewhere where they know they can sell out. And I would think they would if they went to Vancouver. And I don't know if that building is available. You know, it's easy for us to say, just go here, there, or wherever. Maybe there are only so many different options that Canada Soccer is looking at. And I guess FIFA has to be involved in this as well, because you got to pitch it to them in terms of where you're going to play. But Canada, U.S., January 30th, Tim Hortons Field in the Hammer.
Wow.
So maybe Arkells will play before the game. Anything that happens in Hamilton, Arkells are there because the Grey Cup's there this year.
And doing the Grey Cup.
They're doing Grey Cup. So you got Grey Cup, you got Canada, U.S., you got Leafs, Buffalo. Like, Tim Hortons Field is honestly like Madison Square Garden.
The Hammer will be rocking. The Hammer will be rocking.
Absolutely.
Tapman will be down there just cruising around everywhere.
That is his wheelhouse. I told you when I randomly saw Tapman crossing the street in Hamilton years ago.
What?
I was leaving Hamilton. I was there for the night.
Hang on a second here. I was not aware. You're telling me you're wheeling around downtown Hammer and you just randomly see Taddy.
I was at a hotel like a block away from Cops Coliseum. We went to see, this was when Hamilton was still an American Hockey League team, I believe. We went to see them play. Maybe they were a junior team. Maybe it was their first year or two, whatever. It's irrelevant. We went to a game. We all went there. We stayed the night. We were all in a hotel. We went out in Hamilton or whatever. I got up. I was leaving the Hammer the next morning, And as I'm leaving town, I'm driving down the main road right by Cops Coliseum, and there's the Tatman just walking down the street. And I'm like, there he is, the mayor.
Did you, like, roll down the window and
I
say, hey,
I might have given it a double honk yes guy out the window or something and took off. But I was, you know, I was so hungover. I just wanted to get the hell out of Hamilton. Like, I was not stopping. And it's not like he was right in front of me on, like, a green light. It was, I could see him on the street. And he was walking down the sidewalk. So it wasn't a stop and chat type of opportunity. But yeah, if anything's happening in the Hammer, the Tatman will be there. It's a lock. He's Batman.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Yeah. It's just a mustache in the air. That's the symbol. And it'll be happening a lot in Hamilton, and the Tatman will be a big part of it. All right, James Duffy, Jack Armstrong still to come in the final hour. We're tracking the football game. We're teeing up the Bills-Saints game tonight as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.